Sister Vicki Oliver came here, I don't know, 18 years ago, somewhere 17, 18, 19 years ago, and did her first children's crusade for us here at Calvary Gospel Church. And I probably shouldn't tell this, but I haven't said it in a while. The first time I ever heard her speak, I got mad at her. And I'm like, boy, that woman, she's intense. And little did I know we would become best friends. You ever get mad at the preacher? Usually means because they just kind of nailed you on something, right? Prepare this morning, okay? We love you, Sister Vicki. I want you to come and preach to us this morning. God bless you.
Hallelujah. I don't know if that was a confession or what that was. I want you to know that he made me sit in his chair. I did not fight because he's my pastor. But he made me sit there. I am so grateful for this church. You're my family. I have stood in this pulpit for 19 years next month. And I have said repeatedly over the years, there's something special about this body and this church. And maybe some of you just thought, well, she just says that everywhere she goes. No, that would be a lie if I did that. I don't flatter. I have stood here and said, there's something special about this church. I've said over and over, one day I would like to retire here. I would like to be a part of this body. I always felt that draw in the spirit. Little did I know that in crisis, God would lift me up and put me here among you. And I would be remiss today if I didn't say, and I've been here almost a year now, be a year next month, that you have helped God heal my heart. You have been kind to me. I have never been a part of a church, and I've been a part of many because I'm in ministry. God has moved me around different places, but I've never been a part of a church where when I was away ministering, and I'm away every weekend, when you don't see me, I'm not laying at home eating chocolate, watching Netflix. I am out ministering every weekend somewhere. And a lot of times, even midweek, God is spending me. And so I have had people that when I look across this congregation, many of you have texted me, have called me, have sent cards in the middle of the week, have inboxed me on Facebook just to say, you're missed, we love you, I'm praying for you today. You do not know what that means until you're in someone else's shoes and they need it. That's what the body does for one another. And I have never in my life had that. I feel connected here. I am an extension of you. When I go out and if God uses me in any way, somehow, this old lump of flesh, it rolls right back to this body and your prayers. I'm an extension of you. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for loving me. I'm not perfect. Please don't look for flaws today because you'll find them. I pray that God would help me find favor with you today because I can't help anybody if they don't like me. You'll shut me off. You'll say, what in the world? But I've asked God to help me to find favor with you. I am a woman in ministry. However, not one moment have I been out from under my covering. And today as I minister, I submit myself to my pastor, to my bishop, to the ministers on this platform. I'm under your covering. And I am covered by Jesus Christ. You turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Today is a day, a special day, where the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out at the end of this message. This is Holy Ghost Sunday. This isn't Children's Crusade, but it will be for the children. This is for everyone in this building. Holy Ghost Sunday. If you want the Holy Ghost for the first time, today's your day. If you want it the second time or the 50th time, if it's a refilling of many times, today's your day. Don't go out the other way, come this way. The Holy Ghost is going to be poured out here in just a little bit of time for all of us. And if we've ever needed more of the Holy Ghost, is today, in the world we're living in today. When you walk out of here and you go to work tomorrow, or some of the kids are back in school, whatever, wherever you go, you need more Holy Ghost as you go. The world is in a mess. And the second thing is, this could be the last service we ever have. What's going to happen, Sister Oliver? What, the church is going to burn down, or what's going to happen? No. Jesus is coming. This could be the last service. We can't say, I'll make a move later on. Maybe next week I will. When I get done with my Bible study, I will. When I get my heart right with God, when I quit my bad habits, then I will. No, 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 no. You're getting that backwards. You get God to get good. So come as you are today. Let Him fill you and refill you with His Spirit. This is an account in the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost was first poured out. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say just some of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gave them utterance. All, everyone. We know that after this event, they went out of that room changed. We're going to leave here changed today. And when people saw them, they realized they were changed. And they said, we want that. And so Peter in the next chapter said unto them, you want this? Repent. Get your dirty heart cleaned out. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent. Be baptized. He didn't just say be baptized. He told them how. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why when we put people down in the water, we say, in Jesus' name, for the remission of sins. And you are going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall, not might, not maybe, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be fun. Some of you did not look like you believed that. Say it again. It's going to be fun. Clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated. It's going to be fun. Church ought to be fun. I stand in front of groups of people every weekend and I look out among you and you look like you're at the funeral home. Put a smile on your face. It's nerve-wracking up here when you're not smiling. I need you to help me today. Get behind me, because I have a message for you that God gave me for you for this Sunday. And it's entitled simply this, a family reunion. Is that your family up there? I hope not. I got it off the internet. A family reunion, a typical family gathered together for a reunion. What is a family reunion? It's when a group of people that all have the same family name decide that they at least like each other a little bit, and they pick a place and they come together, maybe a shelter house in a park or someone's home or community center, but they pick some place to have a reunion. To come back together again to reunite. A reunion. And all of the people that come are there because of one reason. They all have the same family name. We came together today. We're gathered together in this building. We've set a time and a place. There's preparation made. Why? Because the idea is that we realize we need to be a part of the same family name. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus, we take on His name. That makes us brothers and sisters. And the only thing you got to do to be a part of His family is to come in and go down in the water in His name. Three people believe that. Hallelujah. It's a family reunion. Y'all be excited. And folks come together and they plan activities and they have a certain place where they're going to meet. And it's such an exciting thing. The disciples had watched Jesus go up in the sky. He had died on the cross like He told them He would. He had resurrected. He met with them again. And He told them, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Go to the upper room and wait for a promise, a comforter. They didn't know what was going to happen. You don't have to know what's going to happen today to come to receive it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to have a 12-week Bible study before you receive the Holy Ghost. They didn't know what was going to happen. They went to that room that was prepared. It's called a cenacle. That room is called a cenacle, and that word means to dine. That's why we eat so much. They were always breaking bread and fellowshipping. We don't have a function around here unless we eat. We eat before church back there. It's wonderful. We eat after church. We'll have service tonight. We'll eat after church again. We take that breaking bread all the way to Chili's and Culver's. But it's nothing different from what they were doing. The rooms they were meeting in, they were dining. They had the Passover there. They were having feasts there. They met together in these large upper rooms where the family could gather together. They were linked together by one thing, Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, resurrected, and left them, He said, go to the room and wait for the promise. They gather together in that room. Now, we don't know for sure. Scripture does not tell us that it was the same room that they held the Passover. We can only assume it probably was, because in Old Jerusalem, in these upper chambers, these upper rooms, there weren't very many places that would be big enough to house 120 people. This room was. So we're assuming that that's where they gathered together to wait for what was to come. Why didn't Jesus move on the hearts of the writers to tell us that, yes, the cenacle, the upper room, was the same place where they had the Passover feast? Why didn't we have clarity in any of the Gospels? I believe in my heart it's because Jesus didn't want you and I to say the Holy Ghost can only be poured out one place, at one time, in one room, with those certain people. There are people that say the Holy Ghost is not for today. Well, you told me too late. I've had it 46 years and I've experienced it over and over and over again, and so have many of you. It's not limited to that room on that day. So it's not in the Holy Scriptures where that took place. It's a mystery. They gathered together. They were in one mind and one accord. What's that mean? They weren't thinking about other stuff. They weren't taking their cell phones out, checking their emails. They weren't texting. They weren't worried about what was for dinner. They weren't worried about what's going to happen on the job tomorrow. We have so many distractions. I am quite certain that we have a very hard time getting in one mind and one accord. And that is the only reason why the Holy Ghost doesn't just fall. Shouldn't be any different. I have created, along with my friend, Brother Thomas, altar working techniques. We've combined things. We We have put our notes together. We teach this. I teach this. I've taught this all over the world. We line people up. We have folks up here that are trained, that know what to say and how to help you. And I'm not, please understand, I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do. But we have done this in an effort to try to create an atmosphere where there won't be distraction, where we can get people into the presence of the Lord. It's a man-made deal. I don't find altar working in the Bible. The only reason we have to do it is because we've got so much junk going on, we can't get our mind on Jesus while we're here. If we would ever just come in this house and forget about everything else, the Holy Ghost would fill this house where you're sitting. I've lived long enough to see other cultures that don't have cell phones, little children that don't have iPads, iPods, Game Boys, whatever the latest is. People don't have televisions at home. They don't have Netflix and Hulu. I've watched those people come into the house. And you say two or three words and they're weeping. And they lift their hands and raise their face and close their eyes and begin to use their voice. And the Holy Ghost fills the house. I watched 1,500 little orphans receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Nobody touched them on the head. There were no altar workers. Oh no, because the Holy Ghost filled the house. They don't have any other distractions. It's time for the American church to say, there's something we've lost and we got to get it back. And that's when we come together, that we get in one mind and one accord and get rid of all the distraction so we can keep him the main thing. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost filled the house where they were sitting, cloven tongues like as a fire. It wasn't really fire, to burn their hair off. The writer was just trying to describe the Holy Ghost like as a fire sat upon each of them. So you're worried you're going to leave without hair today? No fretting. You're not even going to see it. A mighty rushing wind. Is it going to blow us off the seat? No. It didn't them either. The writer was describing. Listen, there is nothing fearful about receiving the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be afraid. No one's going to make you do anything you don't want to do. And as people come in the days and months to come that need the Holy Ghost, we as the body, the folks who have designed this family reunion, we need to be the ones to say, you're safe here. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nothing's going to happen you don't want to happen. We need to make it easy for folks to get in one mind and one accord and just receive. Family reunion. They were there waiting, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Family reunions are funny things. We want to get together with all this family. Most of them we like, some of them we don't. They're all invited. Somebody has to plan the deal. Somebody has to take charge, be in charge of this shindig. Get the place, ask people to bring things, have games ready for the kids. Somebody plans the whole thing. And everybody else shows up. Some people remember to bring their covered dish. And some people don't. Invariably, every family reunion I've ever been to, what we were lacking in were the drinks. Because the people you think probably can't muster up too much, you're going to ask them to bring drinks and ice. That didn't take much, right? Run in the Walmart, grab a bag of ice, get there to the family reunion. Here's all this food, nothing to drink. Because somebody said, I'm going to eat, but I'm not bringing nothing. It's not important for me to give anything. I'm just going to go sit and partake. So somebody else has to get in their car and run to the store real quick and spend some money and pull it all together. And listen, this thing called church doesn't just happen. There's a lot of people that make this family reunion happen. And the family, as you get older in the Holy Ghost and you're asked to do something, it's time to jump in and say, I'll bring chicken. I'll bring the potato salad. Just tell me anything you want me to do, I'll do it. You don't stop having family reunions because the elders die. They had that family reunion on the day of Pentecost, and Jesus was gone. He'd already gone away. But they had the family reunion. He was letting them know, this Holy Ghost I'm sending you, you're going to have that down through the ages of time. It says as many as are afar off. It says it's for our children. As many as the Lord our God shall call. It's for everyone. Don't sit there today and say, I don't believe it's for us today. You believe whatever you want. But the Bible says it's for all down through the generations of time. Just because Jesus went away, they didn't stop having the family reunions. Our children need us to continue having family reunions. Our youth need us to continue having the family reunion. Hallelujah. We had a family reunion once. There's that one that is in charge. She's not in charge, but she is. You got the people that are in charge, then you got the ones that aren't, but they are. She called me over. I mean, I'm sweating, I'm working, I'm setting up food, I'm pouring drinks, I'm trying to make everything nice for the family. I'm working, and she calls me over. I don't have time to stop. But she calls me over. Those people were every pastor's nightmare. See that finger? It's like, oh, Jesus, just take me home right now. I went. I knew what was coming. Some kind of complaint. Don't wear this man out with complaints. We're doing the best we know how to do around here to create a family reunion. Just come. Bring your covered dish. Come ready to celebrate. Come ready to be a part of the family in unity. One mind and one accord. She was not in one mind and one accord. Vicki, come on. I went over. Yes. You see those people over there? Yeah, I see them. Do you know who they are? No. No, I don't know who they are. Well, of course you don't. Because so-and-so had company this weekend and invited them to our family reunion. They're eating our potato salad. They didn't bring one thing. What a novel idea, Auntie. When we're all full of the Holy Ghost and living for God, to invite somebody that doesn't belong to the family yet to come in and eat our potato salad and sit in our seats. Hallelujah. What a novel idea. We're supposed to be reaching the lost. I long for the day where you and I don't have a place to sit. We're up busy serving because there's so many new folks that need Jesus. That's God's will for the church. But the family has to get in one accord. Remember why we're having this reunion anyway. It's not for you and I. You let them go through the line first. They're our guests. The cynical, a meeting place. It's where we are today. I set up the family reunion for you. You came in, you got so excited. Bishop Grant asked me, is there fried chicken in those buckets? I said, no. But I ought to get kickbacks from KFC. Because some of you will go there for lunch today just because of the power suggestion. And yes, I went in there and asked them for the buckets. Just to settle it all in your mind. There's never been chicken in those buckets. It's not even a crumb. But I set this all up for you to see with your mind's eye and to be reminded why we have come, that in a few minutes we're going to play some music and we're going to ask folks from every section that want to come to the table, that are ready to partake. We're going to let them come. Let them be first in line. And the Holy Ghost is going to fall in this altar. And everybody that wants the Holy Ghost can have it today. You get to go first. Welcome to our family reunion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you begin to fill up your plate, you understand that, you know, there's good things to eat. And you're kind of peeking inside of everything. And it all looks so good. And there's just one thing you got to be aware of. Anytime you have this kind of setting, there are some pests who would like to get in the food. That little voice in your head is your pest. That little voice that says, my mama didn't have this, my grandma didn't have it. If I admit that I need this, then where am I putting them? Let's uncover the pests. Okay, what I do with that, Sister Oliver, you say, I leave them in the hands of a just and loving God, but I'm required what I know to do what I know is right. And so I'm going to get rid of that pest in my head, and I'm going to come to the front and receive what I know to receive. Well, what will people think? What will my family think if I come and I receive the Holy Ghost? Oh, what will they think? It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. You and I are going to stand before a just and loving God all by ourselves. Your family's not going to be around you. Your best friend won't be there. You're going to have to give an account for your soul. And it's almost over. Jesus is coming. We don't have much time. This could be your last message you ever hear. The last opportunity you ever have to come. Don't walk away today without coming to the table. Well, I don't really want to be loud, and you know those people get very loud, and I don't want people touching me, and I don't want to come up there and be real loud, and I don't want to do weird things. Sometimes I see people around here, you know, they start running, or their hands go like this. Sometimes people jump. People do weird things sometimes, and I don't want to do all that weirdness, so I'll wait until I can receive it quietly. Let me set you free. Get rid of the pest in your head. You can get it quietly today. He will fill you according to your personality. No one will touch you. You come and stand in this altar and lift your hands to God, and He will meet you here, and no one has to lay hands on you, touch you, get in your face. You won't do anything you don't want to do. You'll be sitting at dinner a half an hour from now, full of the Holy Ghost. It's that simple. Quit making it so difficult. All you have to do is bring your heart to Jesus. Come to the table and bring your heart. Jesus, I'm sorry for the bad things I've done. Doesn't matter what they are. You don't have to go over each one. You don't have to tell anybody else. But be real with yourself. You got to confess. Got to confess, and not just, I'm sorry. No, a confession is, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I'm going to try not to do it anymore. I'm going to make a life change here. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. See, the devil doesn't want you to know. That pest in your head says, well, I know that after church today, I'm going to go out and do the same thing again, so I'm not going to even start this walk. But the devil doesn't want you to know that when the Holy Ghost moves in, it gives you power. As long as you don't have it, you don't have power over sin. You're just doing it all in your own flesh and in yourself. But the Holy Ghost will be power. It'll walk out of here with you, and you'll be able to say, wow, I used to not be able to say no to that. But all of a sudden, I have a strength rising up in me that's helping me, and I'm doing better than I've ever done. Will you be perfect overnight? No, none of us are. We're all still striving. But you got to begin with getting it out of there. All I have to do is ask, Jesus, I'm sorry. Even a little child can pray that prayer. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. We all have a dirty heart. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even if you're the best person in the whole world and you don't do anything wrong, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't cuss. I'm just a real good person. The Bible talks about people that were like that in the Word. They still had a dirty heart. Why? Because we're born with a dirty heart. When you're a little tiny baby, your heart already looks like this. But with one sweep of his hand, he cleans out your heart. He leaves a clean, empty spot that he can move into. Repentance. I'm not going to go back and pick up that mess. Oh, there's a mess on the floor. I make a mess like that everywhere I go. It's a mess on the floor. But you know what? That won't go away until I go down in the water. When I go under that water in Jesus' name, that disappears. That's washed away. Never to be remembered again. Then I begin to understand why I need Jesus. I can't do this on my own. Standing in this altar, you'll begin to thank him. Thank you, Jesus, that you cleaned out my heart. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for the gift you're about to give me. And no one will have to touch you. Your lip and tongue will begin to move. Strange words will come to your mind. Here's where the bugs are again. The pest. Those words are not the right words. You're making those up. No one ever received the Holy Ghost that didn't have a pest in their head. You're making them up. They don't sound like that person that's praying behind you. So they must not be right. Can't be that easy. What's the devil been telling you? Well, you can wait and do it another day. Don't have to do it today. I can't possibly go through every pest in your head today. But you know what your pest is. And today's the day to say, oh no, I'm coming today. And I'm going to receive my gift. I'm getting ready to come to the table and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Jesus moves in your heart. He doesn't fill you just to the top of your heart. He keeps filling and filling until the Holy Ghost gets right here. When it gets right there, it's got to go somewhere or your head will blow off. So open your mouth. He doesn't open it for you. Because then that makes you a puppet if he sticks his hand in your head and moves your mouth and says the words. Oh no, you move your own mouth. The strange words come to your mind and you speak them right out of your mouth. And you don't worry about what they sound like. Why? Because you can't do it wrong. You see, it is so important that we understand we're part of a family. And we're not going to judge one another here. We don't have to be afraid of anything here. You're safe here. You open your mouth and let it out. And you'll be so glad you did. Doesn't matter if you say one word over and over. If it's an utterance, it's the Holy Ghost. If it's words you don't say all day long, a language you don't speak, that's your Holy Ghost. We don't have Holy Ghost police in this church. Oh, they have them in other church. Believe you me, I've seen them. They wear badges. They're in every altar with their ear down. They're talking to people after church. There's no Holy Ghost police here. You come and open your mouth and let Jesus fill you. You just speak out whatever comes to your mind. You just let it flow. And it doesn't matter what it sounds like. I'm setting you free today. I'm getting rid of the pests in your head. Because you see, when you come in here, the pests come. They come to the family reunion. Why? There's an attraction there. You know, there's bugs that are crawling all over. When you're out at a picnic, I mean, they're landing on stuff. Flies. Flies are disgusting. You know, every time a fly lands on something, you know what he does? Leaves bacteria on it. That was nicer than what I was going to say. But see, I'm trying to help you understand today that I'm desperate for you to know that we've got pests. We got bugs. fried chicken. We come around here and we've got so much distraction and we got so much going on in our lives. We got so much hidden sin. It's time to get rid of the bugs and the fried chicken. It's time to come to an old-fashioned altar of repentance and get on your face and say, God, I messed up. I got to have your help. I can't do this anymore. I can't try to do it on my own. I'm sorry for what I've done, and I got to have your help. A genuine repentance brings a genuine filling. You can't gauge your spirituality, saints, on how much you talk in tongues. But you can gauge it on how much you're repenting. How often you weep. How often you get your heart cleaned out. How often you lay before the Lord and say, I can't do this without you. That's what you can gauge it on. Talking in tongues comes easy after you got the Holy Ghost. We've got to have confession. We've got to pray. Don't you come to the keyboard, just come by yourself. Sister Vicki, one mind and one accord. It's a Greek word, accord. Homothymedon, sounds like a dinosaur. All those Greek words do. It means to rush along. In unison. When they stated this word in Scripture, accord, they were telling us as the church, Jesus is coming back. Rush along, church, in unison and get the job done. Don't delay, don't wait, don't give up, don't quit, but rush along with this thing. Because Jesus is coming. As the church, we got to be in one mind, one accord, so we can have a move of the Spirit of God. Jesus had told them when they were getting ready to have the Passover, he said, go to the city, and there will be a man that will meet you there carrying a water vessel. When you see that man, you let him know that I sent you, and he'll direct you to a room. That room is large, and it will be all set up and ready. You'll have need of nothing. Just go to the room. It's exactly what happened. They went, and what was obvious to them was Jesus had prepared the way. He'd already done the job to get that room prepared for the Passover. He'd gone before them. Friend of mine, he went before us. He hung on an old rugged cross. And he prepared the way for you to come to the table. And he's not stopped there. He's gone away to prepare a place. He said that where I go, you may be also. You see, this family reunion is getting ready to transfer locations. We got to get the word out. We're not going to be having it here anymore. No, we're not going to have it down at the shelter house anymore, family. We're changing locations. We've got to get the word out and let you know that we're not having it down here anymore. No, we're going to cross over on the other side. There's going to be a family reunion that's going to continue on forever. It brings us together by one thing. The family name. The name of Jesus Christ. Got to be engrafted into the family. Got to be adopted. Whereby we call Abba Father. When my mom passed, I was in the room. The Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, go to the hospital. My mother was my prayer warrior. She had my itinerary, my picture, in my old closet at home. And she would go in there and kneel on a pillow in that closet. And she would call out my name before the Lord every time I was in the pulpit. She would know the time zones. She'd say, now call me after church and let me know what God has done. God has always used me in the harvest. That's what I do. I see people receive the Holy Ghost every weekend. Last weekend it was 18. The weekend before it was 13. This is what I'm called to do. That's what I'm bringing that to the family reunion. That's my dish. Mama would pick up the phone. We had a little joke. She'd say, you went out to dinner before you called me, didn't you? Sorry, Mom. She said, don't leave me in the closet and go to dinner. Call me when church is over. Most of the time I remembered the last year of Mama's life. Picked up the phone. Mama, I had a great service. I was with Brother Grant. Jesus poured out his spirit, Mama. I know there were 19 that received the Holy Ghost. How'd you know, Mom? Jesus told me at 9 o'clock to get up. The work was done. For a solid year, I kept a little spiral notebook. Every weekend, my mama would tell me how many before I told her. See, she knew what she was supposed to bring to the family reunion. You need to find your purpose and live in it. 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord said, go to the nursing home. I walked in the door of that nursing home. My mom was sitting up on the side of the bed. She hadn't walked for months. She was weak. She could not sit up. She was dying. We knew she was dying. She had had Alzheimer's. She was in horrible shape. She couldn't pray for probably over a year at that point. She wasn't able to focus and even pray. I walked in that room and the light of the exit sign was shining on her. And she was sitting up and she was just wrestling with the covers. She was trying to get the covers back, and my flesh said, oh, she's going to fall out of bed. She's going to get hurt. And so I ran to her and I put my hands on her shoulders. I said, Mama, you can't get up. You gotta lay back down, Mom. You'll fall. You can't get up. And she pushed back with strength, unimaginable strength, because she was so determined. She looked straight up. She said, don't you see him? Please let me go. Please let me go. He's come to get me. I said, Mama, you can go. Go be with Jesus. I wrapped my arms around her and laid her down in that bed. As her eyes were fixed on a reunion. My daddy was already there. Her mom and daddy were already there. A family reunion that's going to continue. I don't want to miss it. I watched. The Lord let me see what it's like when you go away to the place he's preparing. Don't you see him? He's come to get me. Every one of us are going to face our Maker. Are you ready? Should it be today that Jesus comes? Should it be, God forbid, a drunk driver, car accident? Should it be an unknown condition and your heart just stops? Oh, Sister Oliver, it's Sunday morning, please. Please, Sister Oliver, just, you know, let's get to the altar call. People got to go home. They got to eat. Bugs in the fried chicken. Would you stand? Nobody should ever have to walk up here alone. you be assured that every one of us had to make that long walk? Is there anyone in this section you have never spoken with other tongues? I'm going to take your hand. I want you to walk with me. I'll keep you safe. You don't have to worry. 87-year-old man last week, I went back and got him. He took my hand and walked to the altar, received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't wait. Please don't wait. If you've never spoken with other tongues, you have not received this gift. It is just that. It's a gift. If you're not sure, today's your day to make sure. You don't know how you were baptized. You didn't hear for sure what they said, or it was so long ago, then be rebaptized. So you're sure. Because Jesus is coming. Is anybody? Anybody that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, that you want to walk to the front? I'm coming to get you, babe. How brave you are. Today is your day. Today's your day. Will somebody come with her? Somebody else that wants the Holy Ghost? She's just coming to the table. There's nothing fearful about that. You just stand right here, honey. Anybody else? Somebody in this section? Church, what does this show you? You get them here, they'll come. Shame on us for not getting them here. They'll come. Anybody else? Here's a couple little darlings coming. Come, go right up there and stand. Is there anybody else that wants me to walk with them? I'll hold your hand and we'll walk up together. I won't hold your hand if you're not a hand holder. Anybody else? Somebody needs a refilling? Somebody needs a refilling? Come on, darling. She's a hand holder. We go right here. Right here. Anybody else? Somebody that says, today I want to be refilled with the Spirit. I don't want to go home without a refilling. Would you come next? We're almost done. The Holy Ghost get ready to fall. You feel that in here? The angels have already lined up. Close your eyes. Lift your face. And raise your hands. Just where you're comfortable. No pressure. I want you to repeat after me first. Church, will you do it with me? Dear Jesus, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you died on the cross for me. I'm sorry for the bad things I've done. Please forgive me for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you have done that. Thank you for forgiving me. And now I receive your special gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now talk to him all by yourself and begin to thank him. You don't have to repent anymore. Just begin to thank him. The Holy Ghost is already falling. I see it. It's already moving. Church, will you pray? Will you cry out, church? Babies are not born without travail. We need people talking in tongues in their seats. We need folks who will cry out. Come on, lift your voices all across the front here. In the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and speak it out. It's on you. It's already there. Speak it out in the name of Jesus. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye